Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
All right, as the custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. Our first reading is the book of Esther chapter 4, verse 15 to 16. Our second reading is the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. And our third reading is the book of Mark chapter 1, verse 35. So these are the three readings. The first one, Esther chapter 4, verse 15 to 16. Then Esther bade them, return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jewish that are present in as the school you attended. Can I move on? You can all pronounce it right. You want me to say so that you say pastor said it. Please, how do you pronounce it? Shushan. It's Shushan. Hey. And fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, but and if I perish, I perish. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Can we continue? Remember therefore from whence thou art what? Fallen. And repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Hallelujah. Our last reading, which we are all going to read together. Which we are all going to read together. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Can we read together? And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Hallelujah. God will help us. So we are still on special appointment with God, aka retreat. Are we there? And it's still under prayer mining. So last 3 weeks ago, if we are right, or last month, we started with special appointment. And the first aspect of special appointment is conditions that provoke special appointment. We all follow. And then last week Sunday, we looked at the outcome of what? Special appointment. In other words, when we go for retreats, what is the expected outcome, or what are we in for? And we found out that we are in for what? The glory of God. Is that not it? And we understand that it is not an easy engagement when it comes to the economy of what? Glory. So today, I want us to move into the next phase of our special appointment with God, and we are looking at protocols of special appointment. Protocols of what? Special appointment. Now, the word protocol, general definition, which we can all get from the dictionary or from any other point of research, refers to established rules or guidelines for communication or behavior in specific context. So when rules and guidelines are set for a behavior or communication within a specific context, we call it what? Protocol. Therefore, the general usage of the word protocol refers to formal procedures or systems or rules for conducting specific activity. Are we all there? So what I want to talk to you about do you have an anointing oil? Yes, I'm here. All right. We need to help the media team. They want to distract us, but we don't mind them. Hallelujah. Amen. Who took that picture? Hallelujah. So when we talk of protocol, we are trying to look at guides, laws, rules, procedures when we want to perform certain specific responsibility. Are we all there? So what I'm going to talk about today is to the guide. Since special appointment is not an easy act to take, we must know how to guide ourselves to be successful in it. Are we on the same page? So that's what we're going to do. And we will be looking at four levels of protocol. I'll talk about three today, and then next week we'll talk about the last level of protocol. So the first protocol we're going to look at is that whenever we decide to go for a special appointment with God or go on a retreat with God, we have to look at the type of retreat we want to undertake. There are types of retreat. So the first guide or the first observation, the first rule, the first principle we must put into place is to decide which type of what retreat we are going for. Now, this type of retreat is dependent on the condition that is provoking the retreat. So what condition? The condition that is provoking the call for special appointment is what determines the type of what retreat that we will go. I hope we remember the conditions, right? Good. So it's not like you are just there and then you decide that today I'll go for this type of retreat. No. When you notice the condition that is calling for the retreat, then you know that, okay, I need to what? Undertake this type of what? Retreat. So, by the teachings of our father, Apostle Joseph Minta, he gave us three types of retreat. Number one is the revival retreats. So, there are three types of retreat. The first one, as I said, the protocol we are observing is to decide the kind of retreat you are going, the type of retreat. And the first one is what? Revival retreat. What is a revival retreat? This is the kind of retreat that is undertake, or we go, or we undertake when conditions of the need of infilling and refilling is invoked. This is the kind of retreat we go for, to seek the face of God, for God to fix us, for God to do what? Fix us. Can we read the book of Judges chapter 16 verse 28? And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and what? Strengthen me, I pray thee, all in these ones, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my heart. Two eyes. Can we move on to the next verse? What happened? Verse 29. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one which, of one with his right hand and of the other with his left. So we continue and find out what happened. Now, what am I talking about? I'll explain further. I said revival retreat is when there is a point, or you find out that your anointing, your level of operation, your giftings, the things you are working with, they are not responsive anymore. You cannot connect anymore. They are dead. I'm going to explain the difference between them and spiritual dryness or spiritual. I'm going to get there. But this one, the things that you used to do, the things that you are able to do, you are not able to do them anymore. So you find out that Samson over here used to what? Hold pillars and shake things. But at this point, he has lost it. And you hear him what? Calling on God to what? Help him to what? Avenge. That kind of engagement with God, when it should be a special appointment, we call it what? A revival or retreat. Now, another thing. This is the moment you have lost touch of the things you used to do to stay in touch with God. There could be a lot of things that can lead to this. Laziness, sin. You fall into sin, laziness, other kinds of things can let you lose touch of the things you used to do that keeps you in touch with God. So when you notice this, then it is, you have to what? Go and then have a special appointment with God so that you can be renewed, or you can connect back to what? Your first love. So in the book of Revelation chapter 2 verse 4 to 5, you see that the Bible was telling us that God was calling unto the church, that the church should come back to what? Their first what? Love. This is the point where you used to say that I used to pray for 4 hours. Those days when we used to pray. If you can't do it now, then you need a revival retreat. Are we on the same page? If you cannot do it now, it means that you need a revival retreat. Hey, those days when I sit down and begin to study the Bible, the things I used to come across. If you are not able to do it now, you have lost touch of it. You need a revival retreat. If there is a grace of God you used to operate in, there is a dimension of God you used to operate in, and then out of something has happened, you have lost touch with it. This is not as a result of spiritual hunger for it, but you have lost touch with it. You need to go for a revival retreat. So this one type of the retreat. Are we there? Okay. Another thing we need to know is that this is the kind of retreat you seek the face of God to revive dead gifts and dead spiritual systems of your life back to life. So you need to make contact with God to what? Bring back life to those things that you used to what? Operate in. So there are some people, they were prophets and prophetess. God used them to minister to us at church. Then they, out of that, some activities and things that they used to do that keeps them, they stop doing. And then these things are dead. Now you see the condition. This one is, you have stopped doing the things that make you to stay in touch, that makes you relevant in that operation. You have stopped doing them. And as a result of that, what? You were what? You are dead. If you want to go back and revive them, now this in the economy of glory, that is a revival what? Retreat. So in the book of 2 Kings, if I'm right, chapter 13, verse 21, the Bible said that a man was dead, and because the people at that time were under certain attack, they threw the body of the dead man into the tomb of Elisha. And the moment the body touched the bones of Elisha, the person came back to what? Life. That is the kind of revival retreat you're talking about here. So when we throw you back onto that point of contact where the fire is, you come back alive. So when you notice that the things you used to do, you have lost contact with God as a result of the things you have stopped doing. Most of these things normally happens to us. You find out that you used to listen to certain spiritual songs, now you don't do them again. There are certain spiritual activities you do every time that keeps you active, you don't do them again. So with this, how do we go, how do we, on this retreat, what do we do? So we go back to the old things, such as the messages, the songs that we used to listen to that stir us up. We go back to them. So you used to listen to Apostle Joseph Minta, and then you stop, and you have noticed that the operation at the level you operate is no more. You have to go back to it. You like the songs of, I mean, my favorite is Nathan Ebasi. Now this man of God, I don't know how to pronounce the name very well. Is it Chuk Chok? What is the name? The name is very heavy. One Nigerian minister. Ah, Chintokash. This song, I Want to See Your Face, he wrote it. Yeah. You are going to look for him. Ah, if you do 1 hour with him, you'll be revived. The man is anointed. He's one of my favorite now. I do listen to him very well. Yes. And Theophilus, you used to listen to Theophilus. When you listen to, you will pray like never before. You have stopped, so you can see your prayer life. Yeah, go on there. It's everything. When you go on that revival retreat, you take those things with you. You go and do them. You see that you come back alive. So that's one type of what? Retreat. Are we there? Okay. Are we there? Now, the outcome of this retreat, when you go on this retreat and you are able to do it well, the outcome of this retreat is such that you come back alive to the things you used to do and flow in them. And also prepares you for a deeper encounter with God. So we can liken the outcome of this retreat to the book of Job chapter 14 verse 7 to 9. Let's read. Revival retreat. The outcome of revival retreat can be likened to this scripture. Job chapter 14 verse 7. Job 14 verse 7. It said, for there is hope of a tree, if it be what? Cut down. That it would sprout again, and that the tender branches thereof will not what? Cease. So there is hope for a spiritually dead Christian. As long as you are alive, it doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter the kind of sin you have been plagued into. It doesn't matter the kind of spiritual laziness and weight that has fallen you. There is an aspect of retreat called revival retreat, that when you engage in it, there is hope that you shall be like this. So that you will sprout again. So you will come back. That's why it's a God of second chance. You will sprout again. And that the tender branches thereof will not cease. Continue verse 8. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground. Oh Jesus. Your foundations has become weak. The things that holds you in Christianity, the love for fellowship, the love for fellowship, the Christian gathering, all these things, you have been weak in it. You are finding difficult to even go to church, to open your Bible. I said revival retreat gives that hope that you shall bear fruit again. Now listen to what he said. He said now verse 9. Very powerful. Verse 9. Say, yet through the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth buds like what? A plant. I pray for you. I don't know what are the things that are dead in you, but I tell that when you go on a revival retreat, it doesn't matter how dead you are spiritually, there is an outcome for you. You shall be like this tree that Job described, that at the scent of water. And do you know there's one expression of the Holy Spirit, which is what, in the form of what? Water. When it comes, say, out of your belly shall flow streams of living waters. God is going to cause a water flowing in you. And at the scent of the water, the word of God, at the scent of the things of God, when you begin to smell that old song, that old things that you used to do, you find out that the messages that you used to listen to that kept you on fire, at the scent, at the voice of even that man of God, at the voice of that old song, at the voice of the people that used to hit you up, when you find yourself there, you will notice that life has been restored. So anytime you find out that you have lost touch with God, you need a revival retreat. When you find out somebody has lost touch with God, the person needs what? A revival retreat. So this one, you go for God to what? Fix you. And the fixing comes with what? Infilling. God refills you, repackage you. Hallelujah. So don't be here and give up on yourself. There is a special calling God is calling you into his economy of glory, that come and spend time with me, pay the price, and let me fix you. Hallelujah. Number two, the second type of retreat is the retreats of inquiries. Retreats of inquiries. This is practically question, action, special appointment with God. Retreat of inquiry means that we are going to ask questions. If you come into our local dialect, we will call it Yekwebisa. Hallelujah. Have you heard that before? So this is when you go to God to ask questions. Now let's look at some few things. But before, let's read the book of First Samuel, chapter 30, verse 7 to 8. We will see a typical example of that kind of retreat. First Samuel chapter 30 started with a story of a man called David who was running for his life from King Saul and found himself in a town, Ziklag, of what? Philistines. David is a man that I actually don't understand in life, because he's the same person who goes after the lives of the Philistines, and still the Philistines love him. I don't know, but if you study the character of that young man, say, this is very interesting. Can I give you a typical picture of this? It is like, what is the name of the Prime Minister of Israel now? Netanyahu, that man. You see all that he's doing to Lebanon. And these states that are around him, that they are not good. Let's say Hezbollah. Then he has issue and you go to Hezbollah and then they'll receive him. That's how David was. Does it make sense to you? Yeah. So David went to Ziklag. He was received by the king over there. Then there was war. He followed the king. The king said, no, we don't trust you. Least you see your king and you turn against us, and we know what you can do at war. So young man, go back. When David and his team were returning back, the around the city where their wives and everything was. When they went there, somebody has done back door. Aluta at the back door. They took everything. Their children, their wife. The Bible said a man like David, who's a man of war, cried to the point that there was no strength in him to cry anymore. Have you been there before? He forgot that he was a man of war. He could have gone after that. The Bible said they cried until there was no strength. And the Bible said the people with him were very bitter and they were contemplating to stone him. The people that were nothing, wretched people, he brought and trained them, and now they are mighty people. Not as if David's children and wife was not taken. They were taken, but these people, when because of bitterness, they decided, let's kill our leader. That is the situation David found himself. But David did something. Verse 7. And David said to to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Can we continue? And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover out. Oh. If you bring this into the context of special appointment with God, we call this the retreat of what? Inquiry. Now, let's look at it. This retreat is mostly provoked under the conditions where you need, number one, you need wisdom to navigate through destiny moments. I've already spoken about these conditions. So when you are in that moment of destiny that you need wisdom to navigate, how do I go about this thing? You have to go on a retreat of inquiry. Number two, clarity on certain major destiny matters. And we spoke about this last time. Number three, keys to bring to an end things going in on your life that you do not understand. When things are happening in your life and you don't understand them, you need clarity to certain major decisions in your destiny life, or you need wisdom to navigate through certain point of your destiny life. What you need to do is to go on the retreat of what? Inquiry. You need to go and ask questions, and answers will be given. Hallelujah. This kind of retreat is where clarity, follow me, conviction, focus, and special consecration is revealed. Now, when you find out that people lack clarity in things that they are doing, there is no conviction in what they are doing, it means that they have not heard God. It also means that they have not asked questions. You see, the difference between two people who will be going through the same thing, and one will be very joyful in it, very moving, who doesn't move, and another person will be complaining and bitter and broken, confused in it, is because one has clarity, conviction, and focus. One doesn't have it. So when the reason why you are going for the retreat of inquiry, because you want to do things with clarity. You want to understand why this is going on so that you can be able. Now let's read the scripture. One of the very favorite scriptures of mine. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 8 to 10. It's about Paul. Let's watch something. Paul. For this thing. Listen. For what? This thing. I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Paul was going through a very, very painful situation, which was health related. And Paul went to God and said, Lord, this thing, you have to take it up. Why? Why am I going through this? Why am I suffering? Why am I going through this? We all have the seasons of our whys, two of us. We all have the seasons of our whys. Certain things happen. Certain things are happening. You get caught up in certain things. At that moment, you need a retreat of inquiry. Now, when Paul went, what happened? And he hear his own words. And he said unto me, what? God answered. He said unto me, what? My grace is what? Sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in your heart, your weakness. Most gladly. Ha! Listen, he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When you see Christians going through tribulations, difficult times, and they speak ill, it means that they never made inquiry about that situation. Because when you make inquiry, this is what you say. This is what you are going to say. Therefore, I take what? Pleasure in what? Infirmities. In reproach, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's what? Sake. For when I am weak, then I am made what? Paul didn't know that what he was suffering was Christ trying to reveal his strength to him. So he started going to God to deal with this matter. But the very moment God spoke, there was clarity. There was conviction. So now, he was happy that the things he was going through, it was not an issue. Retreat of inquiry is very important. That in certain situations of your life, when things are happening, when everybody is complaining, you will just be quiet and watch them because you understand what is going on. So while all of you are struggling in a business, and all of you are seeing that things are not working well, and you go to God in prayer, and God will tell that, I am trying to train you to learn how to what? Gain patience. So it's a training. You say you be quiet. When you come and even they bend down your... That is why you understand these songs. If this war, it is war. With my soul, it is war. It is war. Do you know how the person wrote that song? If I'm right with the story, I heard the wife and the children died or were drowned in a boat or something like that. Is that not it? And the business also was like one day, just within a moment, everything of that man became like Job's story. And when he sat down, he said, when peace like a river, attend my way. When sorrows like sea, but whatever my Lord that has taught me to say, it is war. Do you know why? Because this is a man who has made contact with God and understand that I need to take pleasure in necessities, in infirmities, because it is in that Christ is revealed. If we don't train believers to know how to go on special engagement with God, in moment of this, to make inquiry, we will curse God. But remember that at the end of every tunnel there is light. The weeping may endure for a night, but joy. What are you going through today? What are the confusions that have surrounded your life? You are down with school, you are not getting jobs. So what? You are working, you have worked for many years. You are swallowed by debt and everything. So what? It seems everybody has promised to help you. The people are disappointing you. So what? Go to God, ask Him. And there you see clarity. There you understand that God has something for you. So when when the brothers showed him, the description of woman was that the young man was in pain and in distress and he begged for his life. But still they stole him. So he saw that the guy was so angry. But finally, when they met him, he said that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And he sent me ahead. Now, it was not them who sold him. It is God who sent him. That is why you find out that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. That is why when people think that they are killing you, you tell them that it was God who was using you to train me. There are certain things that started in my life I didn't understand. There are people that God brought in my life, I've been helped to them. And I thought that those people are the people that they are going to be my backbone. And I was so disappointed. And I was almost getting bitter. And I went to God and God said, were they the one who called you? Did they ask for your help? I sent you. I will take responsibility. From that day, I made up my mind that whoever God used me to bless, I expect nothing from you. However, when God wants to use you to bless me, you can't stop it. Do you know that people have done nothing for them? They are the ones who bless me most. Yes, they are the ones. So you see it.
So sometimes the things we got, that's why when you see that you're going through this, it is too much all to God. That is what you come back with conviction. You come back with clarity. And that is when you begin to smile. That is where the devil hates it. Ah, when they think they are pressing you, they are pressing your neck, they have gotten you, you are there, you are just watching them. Say, ah, Odeshi. This one, I like, he said, I take pleasure. Do it more. More. Let more come. Because at the end of the day, the strength of Christ will be manifested in my life. I pray for you. See, retreats, special appointments are very important. And when you get to that point where destiny issues are knocking at your door, things are happening. When you go to God, He will tell you what to do. He will tell you what to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you being blessed? And the last one, still under the first protocol. I said there are three protocols, right? So the first protocol, we are still on it. The last one is edification retreat. Retreats that are meant purposely for edification. So we can go on a retreat for what? Revival. That the things we used to do that we have lost touch with, God will help us and revive us again. Then we can go on a retreat for inquiry to deal with things that concern our destiny and situations that we have no understanding, all because we are going to ask questions. And when you ask questions, God will what? Will answer. And David, when David made inquiry, God spoke. He said, go after them. Hallelujah. Amen. Most of the times, this is the most popular retreat that most of us do. Three of us. That is where you know there is God. Then you go and pray. You want to pray and pray, pray and pray and pray. Pray and pray and pray. That's not the only retreat, okay? Now, edification is one of the ones I love very much. The word edification refers to the act of improving a person's knowledge, character, or understanding, typically in a moral, intellectual, or spiritual sense. We are dealing with spiritual sense here. So when we talk of edification, we are talking about improving person's knowledge, character, or understanding in spiritual sense. So when we say you are being edified or God has edified you, we are talking about improvement, growth, moving towards a level. Are you with me? Are you with me? Good. So it often involves instruction, guidance, or uplifting experiences that contribute to your personal growth or development. There should be days and times of your life that you will go to meet God solely or not upliftment. Another measure. Another 1,000. You must move from that me level. It takes special appointment to God to move from one level to the next level. When you enter that economy of glory, you have to transact business to move from one level to another. Power does not grow, but authority grows. And it is people who transact business in the economy of glory that benefit from this. So the retreat of edification, we are talking about you entering into the economy of glory with the purpose that your personality will be improved holistically. Your knowledge-wise, understanding, your spiritual senses, everything will be enhanced. So this one, it is not revival. It is not because you have stopped doing something. This is because the things you are doing, you have outgrown it. You want more. So Paul said, that I may what? Know him. After all that he has seen, Paul is still saying that I may what? Know him. Are we there? Are we there? So this type of retreat is meant to move you to the next level of your walk with God. I call it the come up hither out retreat. Come up hither. Make another step. Don't live in that. So recently, this is one of the retreats I like doing. I'm looking for something. I'm believing God for. It was this kind of retreat I was doing that I had a vision. I told you about that. The joke came as a light and walked through me, and that's how my teaching anointing broke forth. Yeah, I went to edification retreat. Come up with that. Now there's one I'm pursuing. When it happens, you know. I'll not need to tell you. You see it yourself. So I go on retreat because I want to be edified. So you shouldn't wait until there's a time of inquiry. That is where you know there is God. No. You must also set a time aside that you must what? Improve. So special appointment. Spe-
special time. And even in our localized, or let me say, industrial activities, companies go on retreat to just edify their people, build them, improve them, true of us. So, this kind of retreat, what invokes it? Now, let me tell you, why do you know that you need this kind of retreat? The condition is when there is spiritual discontentment or spiritual dryness. When you find out that you are not satisfied anymore, it's not like you have lost that. You are not satisfied. You are hungry for another dimension. You feel dry. Not because you are not doing the things you are supposed to do, but you are doing them, but you have not met. Your spirit is demanding more. Your spirit is asking for more. Then you realize that, no, I need to go. That is calling for edification retreat. Means that retreat, when you come out, you must see a change. You must be a shift. Those are the retreats when you come up, you are very wild. People will see that, something has happened to you. You need not to say, people will notice that, no, you have become a new man. There's a change. There's an encounter. That this is the kind of retreat that produces transformation, that shifts the realms of a man. So it can happen not only in ministry, in every aspect of your life. You can go for an edification retreat, marriage, academics, whatever, anything that you need God to help you to grow in it. Edification retreat is very important. So this type of retreat is characterized with deeper search for treasures of the kingdom. So when you go for this retreat, it is more like, I want to see you. I want to see your face. I want to know your ways. I want to touch your grace. Help me. What's the rest? I want to see you. That is the kind of songs that you carry with you. I want to. So you are going for deeper treasures of the kingdom. So in the book of Psalms chapter 107 verse 23 and 24. Let's read it. So this kind of retreat is not that you go and God. And all this, no, this one, there's nothing like I'm coming to ask you anything. No, this one, another measure, another 1,000. Take me through. They that go down to the seas in ships, that do business, you are seeing over there, transaction, that do business in great what? Waters. That word great waters also means what? Deep what? Waters. Now let's continue verse 24. They see the works of God. They do what? They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the heart. So if you don't go for edification retreat, forget it. You'll never see the works. You'll never see the wonders. There are encounters, revelations that God can reveal himself to you. It will come with special appointment. Edification retreat. Deep. When you come back from those encounters, you are never the same again. As someone said to Saul, you will meet the company of prophets and you shall become another man. There are realms, there are dimensions God opened to you. You can never revive from them. Those ones, we go on special appointment. It doesn't happen special appointments are very necessary for those realms. When God opened those treasures to you. And Daddy always talked most about this retreat. Daddy Joe most times mentioned about this retreat. That you go and then you have dreams, encounters, and man of God. Some of them, by the time that you see that impartations are done. You have dreams. People lay hands on you. Impartations. And it's a special appointment. Another type what? Edification retreat. So when I started this thing in 2021, after 5 months, I've been praying, studying. Then one day, I slept and had a vision. And I saw a light in the figure of Daddy Joe. And the light, I was sitting there like I was reading. And the light just came. And he walked through. When the light was coming closer, I was seeing clearly. Like I was understanding what I was reading. Closer the light was coming to me, the deeper the understanding. And the light walked through me, and I saw a lot of people. The light shined on them. And I called her and I told him, I said, Daddy said, now you have been called into the office of a teacher. You can teach. That's how. Since then, when I take the Bible, when I sit down to study, so check my message from 2021, there was a shift. It came by edification retreat. So now, last time, a friend of mine called me from UK. He has been listening to my podcast. Said, do you follow Apostle Aromi? I said, I do listen to you, but I don't really follow him. He said, whenever I listen to you, it seems like I'm listening to him. The way you talk, the way you speak,
the depth of the word. I said, okay. I realized that I'm getting close to somewhere. Francisca, someone will come and tell me, Papa, when you close from Sunday, I went to listen to Apostle Selman. The things you said, he said the same thing. I said, the economy of truth is one. Whatever, when you heard, when you get there, the same things you say is the same thing I will say. Hallelujah. Are you there? Edification retreat. So please, don't be so conversant with the level you are pushing. Set a special time aside. Go. Ask God for edification. When you are in situations, you know what to do. When you know that the things you are doing now, you have stopped doing them, you are dead. You know what to do. I'm not the one to, you know what to do. Hallelujah. The way you are looking at me today, you don't like the message? Okay. Second protocol. Hallelujah. The second protocol to consider is the nature of the retreat. Nature. So the first thing is the type. Number two, the nature of what? The retreat. Now, under the nature of the retreat, we are looking at whether or not there will be a need for a spiritual exercise to put your flesh under control, for the inward man to easily do its seeking job without any interference. Now, when you are going on a retreat, you have to decide the nature of the retreat you want to engage in. And the nature is determined by a spiritual exercise. I'll mention it very soon. And that spiritual exercise seeks to put your flesh under control so that your spirit can freely what? Do its job of what? Seeking. But you know, because the spirit does what? Seeking. Are we there? Okay. So this spiritual exercise is called what? Fasting. Fasting is a spiritual exercise that has to do with denying yourself of things you love, mostly in order to spend time engaging in a spiritual activity. I'll talk about fasting as part of the prayer mining, but this is the general definition of fasting. This is a spiritual exercise. Are you with me? Are you with me? So this will determine the nature of what? The retreat. So we're going for a revival retreat. It can be a revival retreat in the nature of the exercise you do. Are we all on the same page? So in the book of Ezra chapter 8 verse 21 to 23, let's read Ezra. Ezra was leading the people of Israel back to their abode, their place of belonging. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of what? Ahava. That we might afflict. Do you see it over there? It's an exercise to what? Afflict ourselves before our God to seek of what? Him. So the reason of the fast is to afflict. This word afflict is not to cause pain, but to subject the flesh under what? Control. So that they can be able to seek that the spirit, because it is the spirit that does the what? The seeking. Do you all agree on that? So the spirit can do the seeking when the flesh is subjected under control. Subjecting the flesh under control is what he called affliction over him. So it's not the affliction you know of. Of him, a right way for us. So which kind of retreat is this? Church, which kind of retreat is this? Oh, I'm asking, which kind of retreat is this? You just did it right now, yes? Oh, you know, you don't know? Should I mention him? Edna, which kind of retreat is this? In the context of retreat, which one is this? Revival, inquiry, or edification? Is all, each of them? Inquiry. Seeking the right way for us and for our little ones and for all our heart substance. So you see that the first year was to subject themselves under certain what conditions so that they can be able to what seek. So the nature of the retreat can be determined by the exercise you engage in. Are we there? All right. So in as much as food and water is the most common form of fasting, we can also fast activities or things we do love most, such as social media. You can fast social media. But the condition is that when you are fasting, you will be doing something that is of spiritual essence. So you can say that today, no WhatsApp, no Twitter, no Facebook, no Snap. As for our sisters and Snap, So you're not going to do any of those things, and that time you're going to use to do it, you're going to concentrate on what? Certain spiritual activities. Okay. Now, one thing I want you to know is that fasting is a very necessary factor to consider when you want to undertake a special appointment with God. Because some prayer engagement cannot be successful without fasting. Jesus himself said it. Mark chapter 9 verse 29. Let's read it. Jesus himself made mention of this. Mark chapter 9 verse 29. What do we have there? The gospel according to Mark. Some prayer engagement cannot be successful unless there is fasting attached to it. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by what? Nothing. But by what? Prayer and what? Fasting. So there are some situations and conditions, you yourself, you know that this one, you need to subject yourself to affliction so that you can be able to what? Work out something prayerfully. Are we there? So the reason why fasting is a very necessary discussion, so there are certain situations that we come into contact with. When we go on a special appointment with God, it requires that we what? We fast. Because in the prayer engagement over there, whilst you are going into prayer engagement, those things, they are accompanied by what? Fasting. So fasting does not give you any spiritual score. It doesn't change the mind of God. It's just an exercise. It's a what? Spiritual what? Exercise. So don't think you have scored any point in heaven because you did 30 days. Nah. You are just building or have engaging in what? An exercise. It's a good exercise though, but it doesn't do anything apart from subjecting your flesh under control for your spirit to what? Yeah. So hence, when you want to undertake a retreat, you have to decide whether the nature of the retreat will be, number one, a full fasting retreat. So now you're looking at the nature of the retreat. You are either going for a full fasting what? Retreat. Are we there? This can either be a full day fast of either food or both food and water. Now, when I'm talking about fasting, I'm going to talk about one of the things Kenneth Hagin taught all of us. Common guide to fasting. Many people have become ulcer patients, have died all because of unwise decisions in fasting. You see, you don't need to punish yourself for God to do things for you. The thing is, you are subjecting your flesh. So as long as you see that your flesh is yielding, there's no much to stretch yourself too much. Let me tell you, me, dry fasting, I've done only two in my life. The longest I did is 48 hours. Dry fasting, 48, only twice in my life. Been yet. Why? Did I kill Jesus? Or the whole... We have to look at this. You have to know. See, when I'm talking about fasting, you have to find out the one that works for you. I'm telling you. Can I tell you that sometimes the fasting I do has nothing to do with food and water? It's sleep. And the anointing I tap from there, if you do food and water, you don't get it. Sleep. Do you know it's a fasting? Who doesn't like sleeping? Everybody loves to sleep. But I can stay awake. Sometimes I'm tired. My eyes are, but I will stay because I'm fasting. And praying. And sleep for 2 hours, 3 hours. And especially on Saturdays. That's why the messages are anointed. It's a fast. So when we talk about kinds of fast, you must know what works for you. Don't let anybody come and tell you what works for you. Do it. People are using their requirement. Specific requirement that God is asking of them. God can ask you to go on a dry fast. God can do that. The Spirit can lead you to do that. He can ask you to go on a 21 days food, only water fast. God can do that. But don't let somebody make you feel like you are not spiritual because you don't do dry fastings. You are not spiritual because you don't do 21 days. It is just an exercise. It is nothing more than exercise. Don't kill yourself. Let me move on. So it can either be food or
only we are fasting for only food, you'll be drinking water, or you are fasting water and food together. But when I'm talking about common sense to fast, you'll find out that you are not allowed by medical requirement to go beyond 72 hours without water. So your longest fast without food, without water, should not cross 72. 48 hours, yeah. Yes, God will hear you. He's not deaf. No, there's a lot of these things, eh? You listen, I'm serious, because you listen to some men of God, and the way they make fasting looks like it is a credit score if you don't do it. But I have listened to Kenneth Hagin and I've followed him. The highest he has done is 3 days fasting. Dry in Bono. He didn't mention dry. It's 3 days fasting. Do you know his method of fasting? He doesn't eat to satisfaction. So if he can eat one bowl of kinky, you eat half. Neither full, neither empty. That is his way of life. Look at what God did with Kenneth Hagin's life. You are here going on a trip 21 days, no food, water, Oba Osa. That's it, right? No. Look at all this. Tell them, doctors will tell you fasting is good, but everything in the excess is bad. Fast! But finance at all. Hallelujah. In the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 16, we found out that Esther required that there should be fast for how many days? 3 days. Can we look at it? Esther chapter 4, verse 16? We read it. So one nature of the fast is that we go on a full what? Fasting. Full what? Fasting. A full day. Full day. Don't do the other people's kind of fast too. That's what that you know, the other people's fast. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor hot drink 3 days, night or hot day. So you see over there, that's a full fast. Second one, a partial fasting retreat. This is a form of fasting where you eat unpleasant food, or you eat not up to satisfaction, neither full neither empty. The most punishable kind of fast you can ever try. You try that one. I decided to practice it and I gave up. Canadian said, tell it, because when the food is sweet, you forget that you don't want to eat half plate, very full plate. It's a discipline. But when you do it, you find out that you are very light. Do you know that naturally I cannot eat when I want to do something very active, including ministry? It's not because I want to fast, no. I'll feel heavy. I just love to be light when I'm doing things. Partial fasting is very good for you. You can take something light, just tea, or you eat once in the day, you eat in the afternoon, the next one, or unpleasant food. Daniel chapter I know why you're laughing. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. I'll not say the story. Why are you laughing? In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and the end of the vision. Verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. That's 21 days. And look at the kind of fast. And I ate no what? Pleasant what? Bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were what? Fulfilled. Look at the kind of fast you are here. So unpleasant food. What are some of the unpleasant food? They'd be an air one pay. But I don't recommend unpleasant partial fasting. Some of you can partial it. You hear somebody saying go back? Unpleasant food. Okay. So a food that is a food fast. This is partial fasting. This example is what? Fruit what? But you should eat fruit, you know. And then today I'll say it too. You are going on a partial fast and you have bought 50 oranges for 3 days. Yeah, babe. Prophet Jericho, how can this fast be fast? How can this fast be fast? 50 fruit, orange, or top 50, pineapple, apple, pawpaw. What can you now move? In the name of, you are going for what? A partial.
I need to talk to Elder Ebi about this one. Hallelujah. Shall be food fast. You eat once in the day. It's also a partial fasting. I hope you get it. You eat once in the day, or you take something very light. So you can take. This is something that most times my wife have been complaining that, why do you like tea? She doesn't understand that it's, yes, I'm trying to practice that kind of thing. And it is not it become part of me. I woke up in the day, latest by 10 o'clock, I take tea with bread, and I stay 2 o'clock. 6 o'clock. I'm cool. Do you get it? You are not too full. You are not too so hungry. Partial fasting. The last one is no fasting retreat. There's a nature of retreat you can go, which is a what? A no fasting what? Did you fast in the night? You don't do fast in the night. So if imagine you're having a retreat in midnight. Do you understand? You work. Do you understand? But you want to have time with God in it. Midnight. You pray throughout the night. That kind of nature fasting is what? A no fasting retreat. Do you really get it? You are not subjecting yourself in terms of food, but it's just taking some sleep off. Or you can do a fasting where you don't need to fast anything. You can still be connecting to God. You see, the thing is, that's what I'm making to not make like fasting is a condition. If you don't do God, not here, you know. You can go on a retreat without fasting. You can eat. I remember, if I'm right, one of the stories that Joe said, he went on a retreat and he thought he wanted to pray. You know what that retreat was? It was a sleep retreat. God, he said he felt the pressure to go on retreat. He went. He said, today I'll finish God. He said, he didn't realize, by the time he was the following day. Yeah. And God told him that, you are tired. I wanted to rest. When he came back, the encounter, he went and sleep and ate for a retreat. Came back and the encounter he had. So fasting is not compulsory. But some of you have to do a full fasting. Because your flesh, the way the sensitivity of your spirit cannot flow. Hallelujah. Amen. Time is fast spent. Let's move on to the third protocol. Are you being blessed? Let's move on to the third protocol. So this one, not shouting, like the shouting one. Right, let's move on. The third protocol. So now, after you have decided the type of fast, the nature of the fast, the next thing you have to put into consideration is how to observe, or the preparations you need to make to start the retreat you have decided on. Preparations you need to make that you need to start the retreat you have decided on. I hope you're all there. So you choose your type of retreat based on the condition. You choose the nature of the retreat based on how you are led, and being honest and truthful to yourself. Because some of you want to do no fasting retreat. You know very well that this no fasting retreat is not. Yeah, that way there. Now the third is, you have to the preparations you need to take depending on what you have settled on. So now, what are some of the preparations? Number one, the first preparation you have to do is pray to commit the retreat into the hands of God. It's very important. Before you go on the retreat, commit the retreat into the hands of God. The prophet said, in all things, commit it on, and it's a guide. So the first thing you need to do is what? You commit it to God, so that God will give you, he'll guide you. After all, it is both of you are planning to meet. So you have to involve his boss. I want to see you. Are you available? That's what the prayer about. You cannot tell me what to come and visit me. I have not come. You surprise visit will also give you surprise what outcomes. Hallelujah. So you pray about it. Oh Lord, to come. Guide me. How should we go about it? I want to have a special appointment. God will guide you through. So that is the first one. Number two. Place and time allocation. Very important. You have to prayerfully choose the place you want to have the retreat. You can't just go on retreat at anywhere. You have to prayerfully choose. It's not only at Accra that you go on retreats. At least the retreats I've done so far, I've done all at hotels. I just can't through and find a prayerful hotel, quiet and serene place, and I lock myself there. Tell my wife I'm here, case closed. I do mine 2 days, I come back. Yes, somebody may have used that place for another time. But when I go, they have the key. I have resolving spiritual conflict. I know what you are thinking. Hallelujah. No, The moment I have access over there, the water I carry there purifies the place. That's why I have to prayerfully choose the hotel. Don't choose any other. If you can find a retreat center, there are some hotels when you enter, you know, this place, it will take years for God to penetrate to the take class over here. Hallelujah. Are we there? Prayerfully choose. Now you have also to choose the month. The month you want to go, the week, and also have to decide whether it is a full day retreat, a half day retreat, or an all night what? Retreat. So some of you want to go on 2 days, that's a full day retreat. Some of you want to go a half day. So one Saturday, you decide to go from 6 to 6, you come back home. Are we there? Or you want to do an all night retreat, so you go and book the place and stay there overnight, come back the following day. You have to decide this. Are we all there? So that is what we call it, place and what? Time and location. So you don't just get up and go on retreat. You have to plan. Are we making progress? Number three. Okay, so I'll still on point two. You have to make sure that the place and the time you have chosen gives you total concentration without any distraction. And it was the typical life of Jesus. Mark chapter 1 verse 35. Don't choose a place that you will be distracted. You go to some place and the noise over there, even the scent over there, can put you off. Choose a place and a time, okay, that you have full concentration, because it's a special appointment. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. Have you seen it over there? Keyword, solitary, and did what? Prayed. A place where no interruptions, no disturb. That's why people like the mountains and the bush. When we're in SS, we have one place that we used to go, some bush. We'll be there, no distraction. So you have to choose the time. If you come into my house in the day, you think that me, I'm not a serious person. You come and find me in the night, whether I'm serious or not. What time that was up yesterday? Around 1 a.m. And I saw his message. I said, are you not asleep? I was sensitive. You know what happened? When I prepared the message, mistakenly I ended up deleting the message. But I finished around 1 and I have to sit down and continue and do it again. Do you know the funny thing? The phone that I used to prepare the message, I left the phone. So I came in and I came to do it again. I was telling Caesar, Caesar said it's a good thing. I said, God punish him. He doesn't know the pain. Hallelujah. Are we all there? So you have to choose a place that is going to what? Help you. Don't choose anywhere for retreat and then they'll be disturbing you. No. You need total concentration. Number three, time factor. Activity allocation is very important. Activity what? Allocation. This has to do with you putting up a timetable on the various activities you will be embarking on at the retreat. Timetable. Schedule them. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 40, he said, let all things be done in decency and not in order. When you're going on a special appointment with God, you have to what? Schedule it. The things you do. So from dawn to dusk. At dawn, I'll do this. So these activities may include, look at some of the activities that we have to capture on our timetable, our schedule for retreat. Bible reading, number one. Bible studies, number two. There are two different things. Reading the Bible and studying the Bible are not, I know you know as a student. Prayer time. Meditation. Am I going too fast? I want you to write these things down. Have them. And when we are done listening to this message, that's why I'm taking my time to talk about it. It's very important. So, meditation. Listening to messages is part of the activities. Rest period. Very important. Rest. So you have to know the time you'll be sleeping. Me, my retreats, I prefer sleeping in the afternoon and staying active in the night. Me. And time for breaking your fast. You have to put it on your scheduling timetable. So when I go, I'll break my fast at this time. My rest period, including the time you bath and dress up, and if you want to wash down, if it's a full day retreat, you put it in the time you'll be reading Bible. So you plan. So you see what you do before you go for a retreat. So you have scheduled everything down. So if it's 24 hours, you divide the time. And this is advice our Father and the Lord gave us, Daddy Joe. He said that it is advisable to observe your prayer time during the night watch.
from 6 p.m. towards 6 a.m. Make that period your prayer time. And the rest of the day, you can do the adult activities. Advisable. Finally, number four. Then we bring it to an end, which is on the third protocol, right? Retreat materials. So when you are preparing for a retreat, number one, you pray and commit it. Number two, time and place allocation. Number three, what? Activity what? Allocation. Number four, materials for retreat or retreat what? Materials. This has to do with items you need to take with you to the retreat. So when you are going for a retreat, you have to take certain things to aid you in the retreat. If you are going for a special appointment with God, you need things that will aid you to do it. And these are what retreat what materials. This may include number one, Bible. Let me advise you. When you are going on a retreat, take hard copy Bible. And I know technology has come, but not to be distracted, because these items, the potentials they have in distracting you. I will never do a Bible studies with these two. By the time you realize, something, turn on the data. You just have one message you come. Shall I open? Shall I not? Shall I open? Shall I not? Shall I open? By the time you realize, you are 30 minutes on WhatsApp. One of the addictive one, Twitter. So go with a hot, hard copy hot Bible. As for that one, there's nothing like shall I open? Shall I not? Are you with me? Are you with me? Notes, pad, and pen. Go with a jotter to write the things that God is going to tell you. So you have to have your retreat book. Retreat date, number, so, so, and so. This is what God said. These are the things I saw. Dreams, visions, the word of God. Go with them. Some of them is your study notes. Especially when I'm going for edification retreat. Edification retreat, I go there. Mostly the work I do is messages. These are the times that I can sit down for 10 hours on my buttocks, listening to messages, summarizing them. Edification retreat. I'm seeking treasures. By the time you are done, something will happen to you. Number three, messages to listen to is a retreat material. You must choose. That's why you pray carefully, or you pray first ahead to prepare. You choose the messages you're going to listen to at the retreat. So it's a retreat of inquiry. And you want to go and deal with some issues of altars. That's why you begin to look for messages of religion or not. Altar versus resolving spiritual conflict, overcoming this of your family. Are you with me? Yes. If it's about dealing with yourself, you go for messages on connecting systems of the believer, transacting business with God. You listen to those messages. Are you with me? Some of the messages I carry into retreat. Then finally, two more. Christian literature to read. You have to take a book with you to go and study. All my retreats so far, there are two others that I take with me. I'm recommending. It's not by force. Watchmani, Kenneth Hagin. All my retreats. It's Watchmani or Kenneth Hagin. In fact, Daddy Joe was the one who made me addictive to Kenneth Hagin. He would give, but Daddy, I need, then you send me. Okay, go and try this one. So if you take, I have a whole folder that is Kenneth Hagin books, 132 books of Kenneth Hagin. Most of the things I teach, that are my reference materials with Daddy Joe's messages. As for messages, Daddy Joe, hardly will I take a different man of God, because the message of Daddy Joe, you can't finish exhausting them. They have... Last one, songs for the retreat. This is very important. The song you choose will determine the atmosphere of your retreat. This is one of the things that people don't know. When I'm going for a retreat, I pray a lot into this area. Lord, give me a song. Give me a song. Give me a song. I remember that my brother introduced me to this song, continually set me on fire. I used that song for a retreat. And I prayed them, and I was still praying. The song was just fueling me. You have to know the song you carry to a retreat. Not everybody's song or any song that can help you in your retreat. These songs will aid you. You see, some of the songs you turn it on for especially meditation purposes. Some of the song can carry you into what? Meditation. Hallelujah. Amen. So these are the three protocols that you need to put into place if you are planning for a special appointment with God, I pray for you that as you prepare a special appointment with God, whether it be revival, may God revive you. Yes, some of you need revival. I pray that as you seek the face of God, that you will be revived. May God revive you. When it is an inquiry, may God answer to the questions on your heart. The Bible said, "Is the Lord that answered prayers." May He answer to the desires of the heart. May you come out of that retreat with clarity. May you come out with conviction. May you come out to not the specific consecration God is demanding of you, that the things that are happening around you, you can stand to do them. And in the matter of edification, I pray, as you go to seek God and you do business in deep waters, may you come into contact with the oneness of God. May you come out transformed in the name of Jesus. So the Bible said that, and Paul said that, that I may know Him and the power of His might, and that that calls for the restoration of Christ. I pray that as you seek to encounter God in your edification with God, may God cause that edification in the name of Jesus. So rise to our feet and pray. I know that all of us here, one way or the other, will come to terms that retreat is a necessity, because we have aspects of our life that we need to. I always recommend that before the year ends, in the whole year, you should not do less than 3 retreats. Means that for every 4 months, plan out a retreat. Every 4 months, plan a retreat. 2 days, 3 days. Your people who are working, make sure that you calculate your leaves. You spread them over those periods. When their holidays, take advantage of them. Use them. Retreats are very important. They come with a lot of blessing. Lift up your hands and say, "Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me." All that we want to say, that, "Lord, help us to come with special appointment to you. Help us that we can be able to have special appointment with you. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord."
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Lord.